wonder tonight if you have a Bible with you. Will you turn with me, please, to the New Testament scriptures and to the Gospel according to John, John's Gospel, and we're turning to chapter 8, John's Gospel and the 8th chapter. John's Gospel, chapter 8. We're just going to read a few verses. We start off from verse 20, John's Gospel and the 8th chapter, and reading from verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. They said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. We'll end our reading there at verse 24. May God bless to us the public reading of his precious word. Let's just bow for prayer again as we turn to God's word. Father in heaven, we thank thee again tonight for all thy goodness to us. We thank thee, Lord, for that great victory that was wrought at Calvary. And how we thank thee tonight, Lord, that Calvary covers it all. My sin with its guilt and its shame, and my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. And we thank thee tonight, Lord, as the old gospel hymn gives the invitation that there is room at the cross for men and women. Though millions have come, there is still room for one, and there's room at the cross for you. Lord, bless thy word now to our hearts, we pray, and grant that precious souls may come and seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. For we ask all these things in the Saviour's name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. Now, as you will know, the Gospel of John presents to us the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. It emphasizes the whole way through its pages the deity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we come toward the end of the gospel in chapter 20 and verse 30. John says, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. John records what he calls signs, wonderful miracles performed by the Savior. And he says there were many other things that the Lord Jesus Christ did. But he says these things are written in this book that you might believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing on him, ye might have life through his name. John Newton, the hymn writer who gave us that beautiful hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found, was blind, but now I see. He wrote many hymns, but a hymn which is dear to my heart, it's number 74 in our hymn book, and He asked a question written by Newton. What think ye of Christ is the test, to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. As Jesus appears to your view, if he is beloved or not, so God is disposed to you, and mercy or wrath is your lot. John takes those words of Scripture. What think ye of Christ? And he paraphrases them and he writes them here in this beautiful hymn. What think ye of Christ is the test. And in every gospel meeting, it is the aim and the object of the gospel preacher to preach the gospel so that men and women, young people, boys and girls, may believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that in believing they might have life through his name. And so throughout the Gospel of John, many, many times we read the word believe. Another word that occurs is the word division. In chapter 7 and in verse 43, it says, so there was a division among the people because of him. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. There was a division amongst the people because of him, because some said he is a prophet. Some said he is the prophet. He is the Messiah. But others said, no, he could not be the Messiah. And so there was a division of him because of who he was and his messiahship. As far as they were concerned, they were divided over him. Then in John chapter 9, it says again in verse 16 at the end of the verse, and there was a division among them. This time Christ had performed a miracle. But again, some believed, some rejected, and there was a division amongst the people because of him. Again in chapter 10 and verse 19, it says there was a division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings. So as far as the person of Christ and him being the Messiah was concerned, as far as the miracles that he wrought were concerned, as far as his sayings, the message that he preached was concerned, it brought division amongst the people. It did so 2,000 years ago. And beloved, it does so tonight. In every gospel meeting, there is that dividing line. There are those who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. They have acknowledged their sin. They have repented of their sin. They have received Christ. They have been born again of the Holy Spirit of God. And they're on their way on that narrow road that leads to home and leads to heaven. They have received him. But there are those who up until this very present moment have still rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. We talk sometimes about atheism. And there are those who are professed atheists and who do not believe in the existence of God. But there are many what we might describe as practical atheists who, although they may not stand up on a soapbox at the street corner and profess that there is no God, yet by their life and by their lifestyle and by their actions and by their continual rejection of the gospel message, they have lived practically as atheists. And to people who stood that day in the precincts of the temple, because this chapter says Jesus went onto the Mount of Olives and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And to those people who were there, there were some amongst them who believed, who received him. And there were those among them who rejected him. And to those who would reject him, and remember, John reminds us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Jesus is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last, the one who knows all things. Jesus said in verse 21, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then again in verse 24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And I want to remind you this evening, beloved, that in this verse of Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ makes a very solemn declaration. He says there are people, they were listening to him. He could see them. He could look them in the eye. They could have reached out and touched him. But he said, ye shall die in your sins. What an awful thing. What a solemn declaration to fall from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible, of course, reminds us in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4 that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Romans 6 and 23. Hebrews 9 and 27, for it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And that day, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he taught the people, as he spoke to them there early in the morning in the temple, he says there are some who shall die in their sins. I often try to visualize that scene in my mind's eye. And we know, of course, that there were religious people who were there, deeply, sincerely religious people who were there around the temple that day. And yet the message of the Lord Jesus is that some of these religious people shall die in their sins. I imagine that crowd, and I'm sure there were young people there. And young people, perhaps with all of life before them, with potential and opportunity, and maybe they were going to live for a long time. But the Lord Jesus, he looks at them and he says, you're going to die in your sins. Oh, the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for we know not what a day may bring forth. And there were middle-aged folk there. Far as they thought, maybe lived half my life, plenty of time, a lot of years before me. Maybe they have spent half their life for the things of this world and for the pleasures that sin can give and that sin can win. But Jesus says you're going to die in your sins. And there were old folk there who heard the Savior speak. Perhaps for them, they were almost at the point of death. But Jesus says, still, you're going to die in your sins. What the Lord Jesus Christ said of that crowd, that congregation who congregated there in the precincts of the temple that day. Surely it could be said of congregations, of the multitudes, of the people, the crowds who throng our highways and byways every day, our cities and villages and towns. There are many religious people. They're depending on their church. They're depending upon their baptismal record. They're depending upon their confirmation. They're depending upon their good deeds and their good works. They're depending upon how they have lived as a good citizen, as a good person, as a good neighbor, and all these other things. And there's young people going about day by day. And sad to say, in the age in which we live, there's an increasing number of young people who have never been brought up in Sunday school, who have never heard the plain and simple message of the gospel. And we wonder sometimes why our society is in the state that it is, and there's so much crime and there's so much violence. And it's because there are young people growing up and they have no real concept of right and wrong and morality. And they're middle-aged folk and have room for pleasure and have room for business. But for Christ the crucified, not a place that he could enter in the heart for which he died. And there's many an old person tonight sitting maybe at home alone, and they haven't the assurance of sins forgiven. And they've never heard the message of the gospel. Or maybe they've heard and they have rejected this message. Jesus said, if you reject this message, if you do not believe, Jesus said, that I am he, if you do not believe, you shall die in your sins. And that's a very solemn declaration. But then I want you to notice that the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's repeated there three times, die in your sins. In your sins. In your sins. You see, it reminds us of our sinful disposition. In the book of Job, and we often hear these words sometimes at a funeral service, that man that is born of a woman is a few days and he is full of trouble. We're reminded that man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. And we're not too far into this book, the Bible, the Word of God, and we read about God's creation and God's power, and we read about that wonderful Garden of Eden and the paradise of God, and then we read about the fall and how man fell into sin. Now our first parents, because of their disobedience and their rebellion and their sin, they plunged the whole human race that was to come into a state of sin and misery. And when we read through that great epistle of Paul to the Romans, we are reminded time and time again, and we're told that as far as the Jewish people were concerned, God concluded they were sinners. As far as the Gentile nations are concerned, God concluded they are sinners. And he says that the whole world is guilty before God. I remember reading a magazine that came out of a national newspaper. And it was talking about a day in the life of the United Kingdom. And it gave statistics how many people, thousands, something like 48,000 people on any given day were in prison. It gave the number of people who had been diagnosed, declared alcoholic. It talked about the number of divorces. It talked about the number of acts of violence, talked about robbery, talked about burglary, talked about all sorts of crimes, and talked about all sorts of sins and things that happen every day in this United Kingdom of ours. Because man that is born of a woman is a few days full of trouble. And the scripture says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we think about the fall, and we think of how contagious that disease of sin is, that every generation, every little child born into the world, saving the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, was born in sin. And the Bible reminds us that if we were born in sin, and we practice sin, and we go on in our sin, and we do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as Savior, then the Bible says, he that believeth not is condemned already. And Jesus says, you shall die in your sins. And he speaks about that sinful disposition, that we have a bent toward sin. We are sinners because by birth and by nature we are prone to sin. But then you notice Jesus speaks here about the soul's destiny. For Jesus says, I go my way, verse 21, ye shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. And the Lord Jesus Christ is making it absolutely crystal clear to those people who heard him that day that if you do not believe on me, if you do not receive me, then where I go, you cannot come. Now you remember when he talked to his disciples in those lovely words in John chapter 14, and he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And thank God tonight that there is such a place as God's heaven. There is the home of God's redeemed. The Apostle Peter says it is an inheritance. It is incorruptible. It is undefiled. It fadeth not away. It is reserved in heaven for you who? For you who are kept by the power of God through faith. And you remember the Apostle Paul. He could write to the church and he could say, for to me to live is Christ. And if I die, to die is gain. In fact, one time he said, for me to depart to be with Christ, it would be far better. And thank God for the soul's destiny, for the men and women who are saved. It's absent from the body to be immediately present with the Lord. There is a great eternity. The old hymn writer asked the question, where will you spend eternity? This question comes to you and to me. Tell me, what will your answer be? Where will you spend eternity? And Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And there were those listening to him that day. And they had their difficulties, they had their problems, they had their ups and downs, they had their business, they had religion, they had many things, but did they not comprehend the fact that they have an immortal soul? A soul that will live on for all eternity as long as God lives. And it'll either be in heaven with Christ or in hell without him. For Jesus told the story in Luke 16 of a rich man who died. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. There's only two destinies. And as the question is, whither are you bound? Are you bound for the land of the pure and the holy to the Eden above? Or are you still on that broad road that leads to a lost eternity? Can I just close by saying that the Lord Jesus Christ made a solemn declaration. He said, you'll die in your sins. He talked about our sinful disposition, that we are sinners. But there is a destiny, a place, a home for the redeemed, a heaven that Christ has prepared in the Father's house of many mansions. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But thank God there's a saving deliverance. See, Jesus said, ye shall seek me. Oh, if men and women would seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near, then they would not have to die in their sins. Then they would not go out into God's eternity unprepared, and therefore ill-prepared for eternity. And I want to ask you the question tonight as we bring our meeting to a close. A very simple question. Where will your soul be in God's eternity? The little gospel tract that used to be given out by the thousands all round Northern Ireland. And it was said on it, where will your soul be 5 minutes after you die? Friend, where will your soul be 1 minute after you die? Can you say, Fred, I'm so glad that I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I have received him as my own and personal Savior. I have passed from death unto life. I'm on my way to heaven and home. And if I should die, I'll be with Christ, which is far better. Or maybe you have to say tonight, brother, I love the gospel meetings. I love to be in a gospel preaching church. I love the singing of the gospel hymns. I love the Christian people and their friendship. But I have never taken that step and received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Is that your position tonight? You know, the old gospel hymn says, it's only a step to Jesus. Then why not take it now? And come and thy sin confessing to Christ the Savior by. It's only a step. It's only a step. Come, he waits for thee. Come and thy sin confessing, thou shalt receive his blessing. But do not reject the mercy he freely offers thee. Some people think, wouldn't it have been wonderful to have been there, to have witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ opening the eyes of the blind, to have witnessed the lame man leaping and walking, to see the Lord Jesus Christ raise the very dead to life. And there were those who believed on him. But yet, despite those things, there were those who would not believe. And Jesus says, you'll die in your sins. And where I am, you cannot come. Dear friend, I plead with you tonight to come to Christ. Take him as your own, your personal Savior. The prophet says, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. And you need to be prepared. Friend, I'm your servant for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. And the elders of the congregation here and other Christians would only be too happy to kneel with you, to show you from God's word, to pray with you, that tonight you would receive the Savior that you would know that your sins were forgiven, that you would know that it's well with your soul, that you would know that when this life comes to its close, then you'll be at home in heaven for all eternity with the Savior. But friend, don't go away. What think ye of Christ? That's the test. Will you believe? Will you receive him? Will you put your trust in him tonight? Let's bow together and a wee word of prayer. Can I just say, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you're concerned about your soul, don't be going away from the meeting. Come and speak to us afterwards. Let us point you to Christ, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. If you're with a Christian friend, they'd only be too glad to come with you, and we'll point you to the Savior. Father in heaven, we thank thee again tonight for all thy goodness to us and for thy presence with us. We thank thee, Lord, for thy word that has gone forth in simplicity. And we pray, Lord, for precious souls, for men and women, for young people who know not the Savior, that even now, Lord, they may come and come believing, Christ receiving, looking to Jesus Christ and finding life. Lord, we pray too that you will bless our fellowship together, bless the provision that has been made for our bodies. May we eat and drink to thy glory and bless the hands that prepared it. And later, our Father, take us all to our homes in safety, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.